Well, we are glad that you're here. We did have a fun time yesterday at Sharon's wedding. It was a lot of fun. And we pray that God will bless that union. Amen. Well, summertime is summertime, isn't it? Everybody's on vacation but us that are here. Well, those days are coming where you'll be on vacation too. We are excited this morning about what God's going to do for us. With all that's going on in the world, the hatred, bitterness, the devil is at work. He is fighting every breath. And it looks like he's winning. But we know he's not. We know what his scheme will be and where his place of residency is. And we know that one day our God is going to step out and he's going to put him where he has prepared for him. So, I know that we're living in hard times. We're living in times. I was asked this morning, why in the world does the world don't do something about what's going on in the world? And it's just hatred. The lack of the love of God in their lives. Amen? So this morning we want to look at Hebrews chapter 5. It's where we're going to be. This is just some interesting reading if we do nothing else but read it, which I'm sure that won't happen. Everybody there? Let's stand to our feet as we honor God, as we read his precious word. Listen to these verses. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. We're talking about Jesus here. All right, you got that? We're talking about Jesus here. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. About this, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food, for everyone who lives on milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrines of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God and of instructions about washings and laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. I want to bring a message this morning on it. I've entitled it, The Believer's Growth. The Believer's Growth. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the picture that has been drawn for us with Jesus on his knees, crying out in reverence to you. Father, I pray this morning that this message would speak to us. We are all of us, Lord, miss the mark. That's what Scripture says. We all fall short of the glory of God. None of us is as righteous as God. None of us is as powerful none of us is all-knowing. None of us is able to speak light and to speak life into this world but you. I pray that, Lord, this morning you'd anoint me and use me as I bring this message. Speak through me, Lord, I pray. If you don't, I have nothing to say. So I pray you'd fill me, Lord, from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, and I pray this message would stir our hearts. And I pray this morning you'd be glorified in whatever it is that we do. May Jesus be honored. May souls be saved. May lives be changed. Don't let us get so busy about religion that we forget the righteous one. We ask this in Christ's holy name. Amen. Well, we really do live in some terrible, terrible days. I get to thinking about this thing. Where are we at in our walk with the Lord? Where are we at as far as our growth in the power of God, the Spirit of God, the knowledge of God, the work of God? Where are we staying at that place? Well, we stand at some very difficult crossroads. We are living at a time when the gospel is not being proclaimed. Churches are more becoming organizations, corporations, instead of places of worship. We come to church a lot of times, we're not ready to worship because we've not been doing what we should be doing. God's made it very clear to us. We are not to stand still in our faith. Now, it amazed me when I read this, when it said Jesus often prayed with a loud cry. There was times when Jesus fell down on his knees before his Father and began to pray and open his heart to him. The Bible says here that he knew he was the one who could save him from death. The death he's talking about here is the death that everyone will experience if they are not born of God. It's a death that separates that individual from the Father who loved them and died for them, made restitution for them, and yet they refuse it because we're sort of our own gods. God says one thing, we say something different. God says do this, we say I don't think it'll work now, we'll do something else. That's just the way man is God. And I can see Jesus on his knees crying out before the Father with tears, agony, sufferings. The Bible said he learned to obey because of suffering. And that's one thing that we like to teach and preach, is that you come to him and everything is hunky-dory. You come to him and every problem will be solved. You come to him, there'll be no more heartache, no more pain. You come to him and everything that you want, you'll get. Which boils down to a bunch of garbage. If Jesus had to go to the Father in tears and with loud cries, where in the world do we need to go when we cannot walk even close to the righteousness that Christ walked in? There's a difference in what he done and what we're able to do. But I'm here to tell you this morning, we can do what God has clearly created us to do. Last week we talked about he had a place for us. He has an ordained place for us to walk in. He has a work that's been established already for us. And we've got to get to that place where we walk where he would have us to walk. But I'm telling you, We live in a day when Christians are more interested in how close they can walk with the world and still be called a Christian than they are to flee from sin. The Bible says if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. We don't have to chase him to see what he wants us to do. No. The Bible says we are to withdraw ourselves from such a thing. We are not to move forward in sin. We are to walk in holiness. And if it took Jesus on his knees, crying and pleading, so that he would not have to face that separation, they had never been separated. We got to remember, God is eternal. He had no beginning and he will have no ending. So they had always been united together, except at that time when he paid the penalty for our sins. We have an awesome Savior. We have an awesome God. But he has sometimes some horrible children. Everything don't go perfect. Sometimes, as the old saying goes, a fox will get into the hen house and he'll stir things up and he will make our lives miserable. But we have to stay on focus. We have to understand that we as a believer cannot stay in one place spiritually or physically. Because what God is doing in us has to come out of the inwardness of us and be expressed outwardly in the physical. The world needs to see Jesus in us. They don't need to see us at the bars and the clubs and doing all those things. They need to see us on our knees. They need to see us praying for one another. They need to see us doing what God has asked us to do. But I'm afraid they don't see a whole lot of that. When things begin to happen in our life, we become so discouraged so quickly, so easily. And you see, sometimes believers, they walk like they're on a mountain trail, up and down, up and down, up and down. When the truth is, the Bible says that we can mount up with wings of an eagle. We don't have to go up and down. We can soar to where he wants us to be if we focus on him. But it takes more, listen, it takes more than just once a week. It takes more than just twice a week. It takes more, more, more. It takes 24/7 of walking in the righteousness of God. For if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. The believer himself is to get up and move on. The Bible says, not as though I had already attained. Paul said, I have not yet made it. I guess if there's anyone in the Bible that I would like to have my life like would be Paul, if not Jesus. And I say Paul because Paul done such powerful ministry. But there was an issue there. He was human. And he did not always feel, he did not always show, he did not always do absolute righteousness every moment. Paul said, it's not as though I've already obtained, either we're already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark of the high calling for the prize that is in God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, here I am. In all that I do, I know I have not obtained yet. I know I haven't already arrived. I know I have issues and troubles. But I've made myself a promise. That's Damon Lee, all right? I've made myself a promise. I am committed to this. He said, I am pressing towards the mark of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. He said, here's what he's saying. That word there where it says pressed, you know what that word means? It means to put your shoulder against something that's solid, like a big old rock in the field, and you push, and you push, and you push until you push through, and the rock moves. God takes that mess out of your way. We press. We serve. We work to be like Him. God's people are to be different. We should never give up. We should never give in. We should never walk softly in our faith. We should be proud that He's our Lord. Believers themselves, there's things that we need to do. There's things that we should be doing. But Paul says this, Peter said this, that we are newborn babies need the milk. How long have we been born of God? How long have we been studying? How long have we been training? How long have we been going to church? And Paul says here, we're like babies. You're still needing somebody to remind you of the easy stuff, of His death, of His resurrection. Now, here's what we're needing. We need to move on from that. When you should be teaching everybody else, you need to be taught yourself. I don't know about you guys. I know my teachers were glad when I graduated high school. I believe they got together and just probably had a party after that. They were glad I was gone. Because it was an effortless effort to go. I didn't do bad. My grades were still pretty good, but I tried Zippo. I'd done what I wanted to do, when I wanted to do it. If I wanted to go to school, I went. If I didn't, I didn't. But I'd drive my bus, though, because I wanted that money. But going on in learning, our teachers might be glad that we're going out of the school, but listen, God is never happy whenever we are not growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's one thing that He's made clear to us. I've got a job for you. That job was before the foundation of the world. Christ died for you. I've already made the plans for your life. Here they are. Now you walk in them. And He's got it through, there's 66 books here telling us God's will, telling us God's love, telling us of God's directions. 66 books. And we, much like I was in high school, left my books at school. Anybody ever done that? Not bring your books home today. Has you got any homework? No, I ain't got no homework. No. And you might have turned paper or something. But I leave my books at school. That way, if I leave my books at school, I know I had no work because I didn't know what I was doing. That's a picture of the believers in a lot of believers' lives. The Word of God. Listen.
in the day we live in, every time the doors of a church open that I am a member of, that I am part of that body, that I am the one that they are dependent on, I'm the one that God has put here to be a help here in this church, we should be at church when it's church time. We should be the church. You know why? Because we need each other. We need each other because God has created you and placed you here for you to do something here. To help others. Help yourself. But we have a really, really, really relaxed thought when it comes to serving God. We really do. And I know that God is not pleased with everything that goes on in people's lives. However, when we don't grow, it's not God's fault. You know why? Jesus, just before he left this earth, as he was given some last instructions, if you would, he told his disciples some things. He said, it is expedient that I go away. In other words, what he said, it is, if I go, something great will happen. He said, it's expedient for me to go, for me to go and leave you. And when I do, I will send another comforter to you. And he will be in you and around you. And he will lead, he will guide, and he will teach. We have no excuse not to be so far along ahead of where we were just last month or last week. We should never, ever, ever let that lying devil tell us anything. God's word is true. When God says, if you believe in your heart, if you believe in your heart, you will be saved. Whoever would call upon the name of the Lord, the same shall be saved. If you believe Jesus Christ came into this world and died for the sins of the world, guess what? If you believe that, God showed it to you. And if you believe it, he'll save you. Amen? He said, I have never turned one away that you gave me. Not a one. Why don't we believe the book? When it says grow. That was one of Paul's prayers. I pray that you might grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Know his grace. Know his love. Know his mercies. Now, there are some aids to maturing, all right? Some things that we can do to help us mature. Y'all have heard this story. I'll tell it again because this is the only story that fits right here, all right? We had a visit from the pastor. I was a young whippersnapper in the faith. And I looked, and here comes the preacher pulling up in the yard. I thought, what in the world is that rascal? Here in my yard like this, I was in the backyard with a bush axe. Y'all know what a bush axe is? That's a murder machine. Whoever's got it in their hands, that thing a key. They got out of the car, and the chairman and deacon was with them. Here they come. I thought, oh, my gracious, what have I done here? He walked up to me, and we started talking. I said, I've got another one of these bush axes if you would like to have one. And they quickly told me that I didn't have one that actually fit their hands. But they said, we come to ask you a question. And I said, well, what's the question? Don't remind you, I hadn't been saved all that long, just a couple of years maybe. And the pastor said, we want you to take the adult Sunday school class. There was probably 50, 60 people in the adult Sunday school class. I said, I can't do that. I said, people in that class that's been saved longer than I've been alive. And the chairman of deacons said, Brother Damon, just because they've been saved longer than you've been alive does not mean that they know the Word of God any more than you do. I said, well, shame on them. Shame on them. If I know as much of God's Word and they've been saved 50 years, and I'm only, that time I was in my 20s, late 20s. We have to understand that there's some things that is necessary if we're going to grow and mature in the faith. See, when we mature in the faith, we'll understand that whatever comes into our life is ordained by God. I want you to, He filters everything through His sovereign fingers. He allows nothing to come into our life that we cannot escape. He will put nothing on us that we cannot find a place of exit. He always leaves a door open for us. He never leaves us stranded. He never guides us in the wrong direction. He always leads us to holiness. That's where He wants us to be. He wants us to be at holiness. And listen, there's no such a thing as instant maturity. No such thing as that. We have to grow. We have to grow. Think about the children. Think about the grandchildren. Now, we've got some in here that have enough experience at noticing this. With 9 kids and 21 grandkids. I ain't going to call them names of Mike and Darlene. I guarantee you every one of those babies, children and grandchildren, when they were born, they couldn't get them a banana to eat. They couldn't get up and go to the refrigerator and say, why in the world haven't you bought groceries? They wouldn't slam the refrigerator door and say, you ain't got nothing in here worth eating. No, they just cried. They just cried to let you know they needed some strength. Jesus, man, I like that right here. Jesus, on His knees, went to the Father with a loud cry and tears. Said, I just need a little something to get me through this. Father, if You will, just take this cup from me. However, not my will, Yours be done. See, sometimes we pray and we're not praying God's will. And we say, well, what happened there? Well, we got to understand. Paul understood this. See, he knew that God was sovereign. He knew that God was in control. He knew that God had purpose. He knew that God knew the ending. So he knew that the sovereignty of God would get him where he needed to be when he cried out and said, listen, remove this thorn from me. And God said, my grace is sufficient for that. When he cried out, I'd say, man, if God's going to hear anyone, He'd hear Paul. If God's going to hear anyone, certainly He would hear His son. And the Bible says that He heard His son because of His reverence. That reverence is because of His honor and worship. You know Jesus? Jesus the man? Jesus the God? You know what He done every Sabbath day? He went and worshiped. You know what He done on Sunday? He went and served. What He done on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday? Friday, guess what He done? He done the will of the Father. Jesus said, you've never heard me say, or you've never seen me do one thing that I have not already heard the Father say and do. See, Jesus knew. Paul recognized that God was sovereign, God was in control, that God knew the next moment when he knew nothing. So what do we do? The Bible says we can't have two masters. It says you'll love the one and hate the other, although we'll cling to one or the other. If we're clinging to this world, listen, this whole thing is this. Either God is God or we're our own God. That's simple. Either God is our God or we are our God. When we are our God, guess what? We do a lot of crazy junk. A lot of crazy stuff. And all we need is to get in the Word of God so that we might be able to serve God. Take everything that we can. Grab hold of everything that we can to grow and to be nourished and to learn. Study the Word of God. I don't understand Christians who don't go to church. I don't understand Christians who don't go to, pardon me, I know this isn't good, to Sunday school. I don't understand Christians who don't go to worship. I don't understand that. That is where we grow. See, we can take some aid from outside to grow, but the Word of God, listen, is the most powerful tool that we can use. And then, listen, Paul even said, he told the people, mark those people that you can follow. There's people out there that we can trust to walk in their footprints. It is not, listen, Jesus walked the perfect righteous life. It is our responsibility as a believer to walk in the righteousness of God. There are people out there that are hurting. There are people out there that don't think it's possible to live a life serving God with the joy of life in itself. Because we walked around too long with us being our God and they seeing us instead of seeing the Master in us. There's a little difference there. Sometimes we need to understand. We have to accept some things too. We have to accept external discipline or discipline. Let me tell you, let me go ahead and say this. If the Word don't say it in its context that it's written, don't you believe it. But if the Word of God held in its own text says it, we better do it. He hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he means for us to grow. Sometimes, I tell you, I had a little bit of discipline when I was growing up. Anybody ever heard a solid leather belt coming out of the loops? Anybody ever heard that? Anybody ever heard a wet dish rag coming right towards your mouth? Pow! Guess what? Now that hurts. That'll break you from saying too much. I've had that a few times. I learned not to get too close to the sink when Mama had her hands in there washing dishes. I knew how far her reach was. But she could pop you right quick with that. Pow! I had a lot of discipline. A lot of discipline. But listen, If we're going to be the disciples that God wants, we need to be willing to hear our brother and our sister in their experience and what God done in their experience, so that our experience might be a little better, so that we'll know what we need to do, where we need to go, how we need to act, what is all this is going to... Let me learn something here, God. See, we should be asking God, God, why is this here? Why have you allowed that into my life? Lord, show me what you're trying to teach me. Because if he's not trying to teach us something, what's going on? What's going on? If he's not there, if something's going on over our life, listen, understand this, he has allowed it to happen. He's allowed it to happen. It's not caught him by surprise, not one bit. In Psalms, Psalm says there's a hedge around us. We went through the study of Psalms, and my gracious, almost every other verse, it talked about the hedge that God's got around us as he is. Those are important things. But we've got to be willing to learn from others and to take our understanding and our knowledge that others have already experienced when they come up with God's word to say, well, I see what you're doing now. See, I learn a lot from my first pastor. He was a wonderful teacher and wonderful leader. So we learn a lot from him when it comes to the word. He taught us. And he taught us to study ourselves. He told us to trust those men of the church that were faithful. Those men who walked upright. He said, you trust them. You listen to them. You get knowledge from them. And you'll grow. I remember when I walked, we were working on the church, and because we were building a new church, and I walked in the bathroom there the preacher was, painting the wall. I said, Brother Larry, how do you know when God's calling you to preach? Paintbrush going. You'll know. That's all he said. You'll know. See, he had wisdom. He knew not to call me. He knew God would call and I would have to answer him. And he didn't say, well, brother, you know, I see those things on you. No, he didn't say that at all. No. He just said, he'll know. Now, when someone asks me, how do you know when God's calling you to preach? I just simply say, well, if you can do anything other, if you can, whatever it is, if you can dig a ditch or whatever, run a backhoe, whatever, put potato chips on the shelf or cookies on the shelf, if you can do anything else and be happy and satisfied, do it. But if you can't, and all you have is a burning in your heart to preach the word of God, you better answer God. I've seen people come. I've seen people go. I've seen those guys that God had their hand on. And I knew that God had his hand on them. But see, we've got to learn to discipline ourselves, so that those that are around us can learn. You know, I've been fortunate. Me and one has been fortunate to be in some good churches with some preachers that we really, really loved. But the best thing we've ever done is follow him. Be obedient. So, the Bible says here that there is temptations Anybody ever been tempted about anything? Did you know that the Hebrew and the Greek translate the same word, they use for God, they use it also for Satan? And that word is temptations. For God, that means to test, as to try, find gold. In other words, he'll put you through the fire. But the devil is to test to see your weak spot. I pray God covers our weak spot. Amen. Don't you? But we can mature through the things that happen in our lives. Now, if we can have something that comes in our life that is hard, and we know we've got to fight for everything we can. Because, see, if we get discouraged in our faith, the devil will beat you to death. He will make you believe a lie if we get discouraged in the faith. Listen, the devil knows where the whipping post is. And when we quit walking by faith, did you know sometimes faith, well, all the time, faith is something that is real that we have not seen when it comes to heaven, when it comes to Him. It is something that is real. We just haven't seen it physically yet. So when that faith begins to vary and we get discouraged, the devil's going to come in and he will lie. I knew some people, and I've known some people, that I've always said this. They had rather climb up a tree backwards and tell a lie than to stand flat on the ground and tell you the truth. I've seen a few people like that. They just lied every breath just about it. And that's what the devil does. The devil cannot tell the truth. And he will deceive us. He will march us as far away from God as he can. He'll get us down eating the slops of the pigs. He'll get us to the place where we will even deny that we ever knew him. He'll get us in a bad place. And oh, it's hard to come back from them places. That travel from faith to discouragement to fear and uncertainty, guess what? It's hard to get back from that. But oh, the Holy Spirit. We can be down there eating the slops, and the Holy Spirit, who's dwelling within us, who never leaves us, never forsakes us. The Bible says that whatever we do as a believer, the Holy Spirit is a part of it. We make him a partaker of our evil deeds. What in the world? That we make the Holy Spirit of God a part of our evil deeds. Because he's always there. He'll never leave us. So when things happen, trials come, tribulation come, hardships come, just say, God, here I am. Guide me through it. Help me through it. And he will. James said this, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life. Sound like a pretty good deal, don't it? Sound like a pretty good deal. God wants us to mature. Grow in the grace. Become adults in the faith. And that takes submission. That matter of fact, that takes, as the Bible said about Jesus, it takes reverence. It takes honor. It takes respect that we have for God so that we might be effective. We ain't got long, folks. We ain't got long before he's coming. or the government's running, one of the two. Where you stand? You've got issues in your life. You've got troubles in your life. You've got temptations. You got people trying to tell you what to do, or people trying to lead you this way or that way. Listen. Just go before the Father with loud cries and tears. Get His attention. But understand, He's still sovereign God. He will do His will. Let's learn His will. And then when we pray, the Bible says when we know His will and we pray, we get our prayer answered. Time to grow. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this day. We thank You for Your word. We love You. We're so grateful today that You've allowed us to be here. I thank You for the message that You have placed in my heart. I pray to speak to all of us. Lord, I know there's not a one of us in here, from the pulpit to the back walls, there's not a person in here, Lord, that does not need to walk in the light. Not a person here that don't need to mature in the faith. Lord, we never get to the fullness of the faith until we are made like Him. Lord, when we're made like Him, then we will have arrived at our heaven home. I pray if there's one here this morning that's not ever by faith said, "I believe," and confess Jesus is Lord. Not make Him Lord because You're already Lord, but to recognize that You are the Lord of their life. May today be the day they come to know You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.